we continue in the scriptures, let's turn to the book of the Psalms. This morning we'll read together Psalm 34. Psalm 34. The inspired inscription reads of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech so that he drove him out and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Psalm 34. Our primary focus this morning are on the first three verses. I'll read them again. David makes this beautiful declaration, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. We trust the Lord to continue to go before us as we meditate on his word and seek to submit to the proclamation thereof. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we face the various tests and trials of life, as we seek to live the lives that God has given us, as we deal with circumstances in these so-called COVID days, it remains our calling to focus on the Lord and his praise. We admit that the distractions and the troubles of life often sidetrack us in our blessed calling to declare God's praise, sidetrack to acknowledge that he has made us and redeemed us and covenant people in Jesus Christ. And always we need to be encouraged to go back to the first principles, to go back to that which we were originally created for. And our text this morning is one of the great invitations in the book of the Psalms to praise God. And it's an invitation to all people to join together in praise. It is a call to proper boasting, because the only proper object in our boasting is God himself. And as we hear Psalm 34 speak, we are given the encouragement to find our comfort and joy in trusting God and trusting both his person and his purpose. Psalm 34 beckons us, it calls us, it invites us, it arouses us to bless the Lord personally, continually, and corporately, that is, as the body of Christ, congregationally. It's both our privilege and tremendous responsibility to serve God. To serve God in our daily walk and in our walk and talk. Also then to be given the opportunity to do that together as a fellowship of people, as the body of Christ. When we think of our place in this world, we who are but puny creatures of the dust. What a marvel to be called by the Almighty God, He who is mighty over all, to lift our praise to Him. And what a wonder it is to enjoy the bond of the covenants in covenantal fellowship and friendship, to live in the amazement of the amazing grace of God. God be praised. He is the great I am who I am. He has revealed himself as the triune God, the everlasting God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the incomprehensible God, in that he is beyond our ability to comprehend the fullness of his glory. He who is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-powerful, the God who changes not. A finite creature such as we are can never fully understand that which is infinite. And our knowledge is far from complete, restricted by our fallen humanity. We do not know God's qualities completely or exhaustively. There is and always will be an element of mystery regarding the triune God. But we have been given two books which help us in our calling. The creation is set before our eyes as a most elegant book wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many creatures, characters, leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even his everlasting power and his divinity. We only have to open our eyes and we have to say, what a world of splendor we live in. We are given a second book, the Bible, where God made himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine word. That is to say, as far as it is necessary for us to know in this life to his glory and for our salvation. And now from the Bible, we are permitted to enter David's world as he gives expression to his world in Psalm 34. And to listen carefully to his Holy Spirit-inspired speech. David begins, I will bless the Lord at all times. Personally, he gives his testimony of praise and calls us to a life that is focused on the mercies of God, the God who is near to those who have a broken heart, and save such as a contrite spirit. And as we look at Psalm 34, we have quickly noticed that David's testimony is not given when life is smooth sailing, but rather in the context of trouble and adversity. And at the time of the writing of Psalm 34, David was being hunted for his life. There seemed to be but one troubling trial after another. The posse seeking his death was seemingly always only one step behind him. He had, as it were, no place to call home. And there was this time in his life when he was always on the run. The wilderness was no sanctuary to him, nor was the enemy territory a haven of rest. Now, in light of all of this, you know David's story. In light of all of this, one might think, now how could David cry out, "Bless the Lord"? Perhaps we would better understand if David would cry out, "Where are you, O Lord?" That was his testimony in Psalm 13, wasn't it? How long, how long, how long? But not in Psalm 34. He's not asking, "Why are you letting this happen in my life?" Yes, Saul on the one hand and the king of Gath on the other, attacked as it was from two sides. And as we reflect on David declaring God's praise, as it then relates to our own lives, it leads us to a question that we all need to answer for ourselves. How is it then that we understand our calling, while at the same time recognizing evil both in the world around us and sin in our own lives? We recognize that we will not be exempt from troubles in the days to come, whether those troubles are of our own making, or troubles encountered in the troubles of others, or those who trouble us. This life, we understand, is often a veil of tears. Difficulties, dangers, dilemmas will require from us a godly response. And in that response, we need to remember, in spite of our questions, that God is all good, all powerful, and all knowing. That God hates evil and will ultimately judge evildoers and remove evil and suffering after accomplishing a greater good. Joni Erickson Tada, who lived for many years as a quadriplegic, writes, "God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves, and her life has touched many people for good." Let us, congregation, not fall into the trap of thinking that our faith will spare us from life's trials and troubles. Perhaps you have met those who are truly suffering, but wonder why, because they believe they have done what was right, and including faithful service into church, tithing, devotions, and so forth. And their suffering has put them in a daze of bewilderment. They have fallen into a trap. Faith is not simply an insurance policy in which we pay our premiums to protect us from harm. God, in his goodness and grace, ought never be to us simply as an insurance policy. We have a noble calling, a glorious calling. To glorify and magnify God is not to make more of him than he is. That's impossible. But rather it is to affirm, and to do that over and over again, his greatness. His greatness. Attempting to do justice to his infinite majesty and power and wisdom and love, even though surely we'll fall short. But as we think of the triune God, he who made us and who saved us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his hand directing from this world to the next, our hearts must be filled with a sense of awe and wonder. We must not simply believe in God, but believe what is true about God. And when we see God as he is, we will see ourselves as we are, leaving him in his rightful place and us in ours. Evil is never good, and yet God can use any evil to accomplish good and to accomplish his sovereign purposes. We must not lose sight of the fact that through the redemptive suffering of Christ, in which our Savior Redeemer took the problem of evil and sin upon himself and triumphed over evil and death. And we need to live in the confidence that on the great day of days soon coming, the death will be swallowed up forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from the faces of his people. And David has experienced this in his life in profound ways. And out of his experience, he wants us to benefit. In verse 11, he writes, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." David is not just talking to himself, that he is. He's not simply talking to the Lord, that he is. But he's also speaking to those who have ears to hear. David lives in the conviction of God's saving grace, and in spite of his circumstances, he can see the bigger picture. Experientially, he knows God as his refuge and strength. Psalm 34, David is singing a wonderful song of salvation. The Lord hears the cry of the righteous. The Lord delivers them out of their trouble. So confident is David of the fulfillment of the Lord's promise that David carries on in the midst of his troubles as if he's already experienced the fullness of salvation. The difficulties we experience in life do not change the truth of God's saving love in Jesus Christ unto those who by grace believe in true faith. Thus, our call to bless and exalt our God. It's a personal calling. Each one of us has received this calling. The great God who is beyond what we might think or even imagine is the same God who delivers us from the consequences of our sins, who delivers us from our fears. Trust him. Believe his promise. Believe in faith that the outcome of our lives is sure with our Heavenly Father. This calls for a life of consistency. By nature, we are an up and down people. But David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." The praise, the thanksgiving is not to stop and then go a little later on. By nature, we're kind of a stop-and-go people, but the call of the Word of God is carry on in that beautiful task of praising God. Our reflections guided by Scripture, our meditation before Jehovah God must be regular and constant. And when it's not, we soon fall into the doldrums. God's praise is not simply reserved for Sunday worship. Like David, our praise must be from the heart. And not a day ought to go by where we fail to acknowledge with thanksgiving the great glory of God, including the wonder of his wonder-working love in Jesus Christ. We have our Bibles, and each page will direct us one way or another to God's praise. God has a plan for each one of us. And what valleys we must experience in life are not all known to us at the moment, but they are well known to God. To be paralyzed by despair helps no one. Believe the promise of God's word when he promises to be faithful to complete the good work that he has begun in his people. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "I am with you always." Believe the very word of God when the word tells us the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, his ears toward their cry, even our cry of anguish. Believe when the word of God tells us When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. The Lord hears. And believe that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Our experiences, difficult as they may be from time to time, ought not to hold us hostage, drawing us away from God's promise. Rather, the experiences of life must be always considered in the context of our place and relationship to our Creator and Maker, our covenant God. And when we do that, even in our weakness, we have the perspective that brings stability to our lives. That's what we need, stability. Our Heavenly Father promises. He has given His only begotten Son. And in the immensity of His love, He has ordained those whom He has called will persevere. David not only expresses his determination to give praise for the goodness of the Lord, for his deliverance from all fears, for the rescue that he's experienced, but invites others to join him in giving praise. And thus, our praise is not only a personal, but is to be given collectively, corporately, congregationally. Let us exalt his name together. And together we may and must express our testimony to the Lord. Together it is our blessing to gather on the Lord's Day, to lift our hearts and voices in praise, to do so with a sense of purpose and zeal and enthusiasm. And have we not all experienced a great loss in this regard in these past months when we have two empty pews between pews? When the whole congregation at the moment is not permitted to come together. And how wonderful it is that when we are together, you look back now, how wonderful it is that when we have a full sanctuary of praising people, that in that praise to God, we too are lifted to the Lord. Our society talks about religion as being private. Keep your beliefs to yourself. How utterly false. The highlight of the week is coming together as God's people, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, blending our voices with united hearts and focused minds on the beauty of our beautiful Savior, on the majesty of our Heavenly Father, on the power of the Holy Spirit. And together we join in heart and mind to tell the Lord of our gratitude. We do so know that gratitude to God makes even a temporal blessing a taste of heaven. Together with all our warts and our foibles, our idiosyncrasies, our eccentricities, our shortcomings, our faults, our sins, we come together. And really, it's a beautiful picture for me to stand before you and to see the congregation, even though you're spread about, to see the congregation, young and old, fellow struggling pilgrims, come as one, gratefully to sing as we have and as we will continue of God's power, His love, to confess that He is our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. David cries out to the entire covenant community, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." Now, boys and girls, when you hold a magnifying glass in your hand, what happens? Well, you say, of course, whatever's on the other side of that magnifying glass is bigger. It is enlarged. Now, we must not think that when David calls us to magnify the Lord, that we're attempting to enlarge, to make God big, look bigger. As we said a moment ago, to glorify and magnify God is not to make Him more of Him than He is. That's impossible. But what's been magnified? Our praise must be magnified. And that's to be our goal. That's to be our goal. More praise, not less. when we get entangled in the troubles of life, the sins that entangle us, also within the congregation, we can lose sight of our first purpose. When we're walking in the valleys, we can lose sight of our first purpose. The praise we offer to God is highlighted in the humble hearing and receiving of God's word. David speaks of the radiant, and we should understand that shining radiancy in the light of our joy in Christ. David talks about the gladness of the humble in contrast to the proud. The proud are not interested in blessing the Lord. The proud think that singing God's praise is a bit too much for them. The proud believe that they can live apart from God. And their continual chorus is, "I did it my own way." Those who have been humbled by the grace of God truly are radiant. The humble know they have been lifted up. The humble know that grace is not their deserving. We think of some of the weddings that we may have attended in days past. When young couples are married in the Lord, when they come to declare their vow before the Lord, they're dressed in their finery, and they look radiant. They're beaming, and their hearts are bursting. Well, we as a congregation are the bride of Christ, and that bride is to give expression to the radiance of Christ, and that radiance is to shine off us, as it were, and our hearts are to be beaming and bursting, for God will never forsake us. We think in this regard of the task that parents are given to teach and encourage their children in the expression of joy. So-called modern child psychologists often tell us that the sure way of making a child happy is to build up their self-esteem. But that's not the message of the scriptures. If we want to teach our young people to live confidently in a very shaky world, they must come to know personally that real joy, that real strength, that real confidence that can only be found in Jesus Christ. The gospel speaks in terms of submitting ourselves to Christ. So instead of focusing on self-esteem, we need to focus on Christ's esteem, his praise. Those who have a burden for the souls of children must gather around the old rugged cross and point their children to the Savior who bled and died for the sins of all those who come to repentance and faith. The greatest blessing that parents can give to their children entrusted to their care is training their children in the fear and the love of the Lord. And to remember that Reformed Christian education always has a heart for the glorious message, "Bless the Lord." This message is not only for us. We want others to experience and embrace what may be given to us. Calling and inviting others to God's praise, to have others share in the joy of the Lord, and to pray the Lord's blessing to rest upon the efforts of the bride of Christ to reach those who yet have no idea of what it is to bless the Lord. The bride of Christ desires for thronging worshipers. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. Come, praise him, ye that fear the Lord, ye children of his grace. With reverent sound his glories forth, and bow before his face. Amen.